Welcome to the Adopting and Fostering Home podcast. Whether your family has been on this journey for years or you're just getting started, we're here to support and encourage you along the way. And now your hosts, Lynette Ezell and Tara Melber.
Welcome back to the Adopting and Fostering Home podcast. You know, today, Tara, we want to talk about a topic that's been receiving more and more attention lately. Mm-hmm. It's a good thing. This is not something I was very good at. But I know, you know me. But the Lord says, come to me, all who are weary, and I will give you rest.
That's right. And a lot of times as moms, we do not feel rested.
No,
or
we
restful.
Don't. Because I'm a fixer.
That's right. That's
and
right.
And I just keep going 90 to nothing. But as parents, we dive into fostering and adopting children from really hard places, mm-hmm. and it can get overwhelming. And we can find ourselves having seasons of weariness,
mm-hmm.
like
people,
long seasons right. of weariness, right?
Right. And people say, just go take a nap. Go do this. Go do that. And you're thinking, that nap is not going to do
no,
it for
while
me.
While my 12-year-old rewires the house.
Exactly.
I'll go lay down for a little bit. But
right.
yeah, people do say that, and they're just trying to help.
Mm-hmm. They are. Well, we want to talk about that today with our friend Stacy Thomas. We're super glad you came today. She's the director of family programs for Chosen and has been on staff there for 5 years. She has a passion for helping parents create homes in which their foster and adopted children can heal and thrive. Stacy's a certified trust-based relational intervention practitioner, and she's a trauma-competent caregiver, affiliate trainer, and has mentored hundreds of foster and adoptive families for the past 18 years. So we're glad you're here. She's married to John. They've been married for 24 years, and they have 4 girls from 4 different countries.
Yes, it's been quite a journey.
So. I bet. And yeah. your girls are all hitting teenage. You got a lot of teenagers right
I
now,
do.
Right?
Yeah, almost. The youngest one will be a teenager in September.
Right. So you've been an adoptive mom for a long time, yeah. and you've had to practice self-care a lot, I am sure.
Absolutely.
So that's a new buzzword. I wouldn't say it's new in general, but the buzzword, I guess, of self-care is relatively new and talked about a lot. So how would you define self-care on the adoptive and foster care journey?
Sure. So I think self-care has become pretty trite. And I think because it's such a trite term, parents aren't doing it real
right.
well, especially when they're on this foster adoptive journey. So I'd love to talk about what self-care isn't.
That'd be great.
Is that good? So self-care is not giving yourself a break. So, you know.
If only it was that easy.
If only. You know, when we're parenting kids from hard places, the rallying cry is, I just need a break, right? Mm-hmm. I just need a break. Well, what happens when we get a 3-hour break? We think, well, that
I really, need a 6-hour break.
And then I need a weekend off. And,
right.
And then
and
I really could
racing.
Use a week.
Yeah. yeah, the whole time.
That's right. But I think we could break ourselves out of parenting altogether mm-hmm. if a break was all we needed. Mm-hmm. So I like to talk to parents about how to do self-care in the days when
right.
you're not on vacation. Mm-hmm. So we like to think of self-care as an indulgence, and mm-hmm. really I like to talk about it as a discipline.
Mm.
It's like a spiritual discipline, mm-hmm. right? We have to figure out how it is we can parent well all day long, and that's going to look different with the different areas of our lives that we mm-hmm. need to take care of, and it's going to look different during the day. But it's definitely a discipline.
Well, you know, the Lord created the world in 6 mm-hmm. days, and on the 7th day, he rested.
Yes.
And he rested because he knew, not because he needed a rest, but because he knew that we needed that example. And resting, however, has to come through, and rejuvenating and refreshment has to come while you have little people hanging on your legs and you're cooking dinner and doing all of the discipline that needs to occur during the day. So it's not necessarily that you pull away from the world. It's that you lean in and figure out how to take care of yourself during
Absolutely.
That time.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So how is it different than just taking a break?
So one of the examples I love to use is when I had my 4 kids from 4 very hard places who were all little, and I thought I was going to lose my ever-loving mind. What was really comforting to me was to read out loud. If I could do anything, I would read literature, like classic literature. So I would start in the afternoons when I really felt like I needed a break and knew that I couldn't because everyone's cortisol levels were jacked up and nobody was taking naps. And so we would sit down and they would be crawling on the back of the sofa and hanging on my hair and doing somersaults. But I would be reading things like Heidi or Treasure Island.
Right.
And I would literally read out loud for 3 hours every afternoon because it was comforting to me, but I was still leaning into my kids. Mm-hmm. I've got a parent recently that I told her that story and I said, if you could do anything, you know, what is it? And she had such a hard time thinking about it. And I said, what do you miss? Mm-hmm. What were you doing that you loved to do before these kiddos came into your home? And she said, crafting. I love to craft. And I said, then start crafting in the afternoon. You're doing it for you, but it enables you to still connect with your children and lean into them, but it's an outlet in the midst of parenting.
Yes.
So really like to think of self-care as finding how you can have those outlets in the midst of your parenting.
I know when our son came home, he didn't speak English very well at all. And my salvation was when all the other kids went to school where the red fern grows, Old Yeller, because he loved animals. And I, you know, I tuned in on that. And we would just sit and read. And then he would begin reading with me. Yeah. But it was a sweet time. But it also just refreshed me. I hadn't even thought about that till you brought it up, Stacy. Mm-hmm. But I guess that's kind of what we did.
Yeah. And, you know, I've got parents who are just love exercising. And so for them, I encourage them, don't feel guilty about going out and kicking the soccer ball around. Like, find out what energizes you and do that with your child. You can't do that all the time. Mm-hmm. But in those moments where you're desperate for a break, that's what I love to tell parents to do.
And it kills two birds with one stone when you're doing it with your children because it's a connecting time.
Yeah, it helps attachment.
Helps with attachment. I was just looking at Instagram the other day, and a sweet little couple that I know, they have one biological son who's autistic and four other children that they adopted out of the foster care system that range from, like, I don't know, maybe 10 down to little, like toddler. And so they are actually getting ready to move onto the mission field to go to Malawi. And so she is packing boxes, stressing out. And her Instagram picture was of her and all of her children sewing. She loves to sew.
Yes, that's what we did.
So her little thing said, you know, my stress relief is obviously sewing. So she's got, you know, her little guy with autism sitting in her lap, running the little, making a quilt.
That's great.
I love
But she said, I just needed a break. And this is stress-free for me. Even though she's teaching and practicing sewing with the children, she's connecting. And the toddler was with grandma. So she had the four olders and she was practicing self-care in the midst of an incredibly stressful time. And prepping to go on the mission field.
Right.
That's a perfect example.
It is. It's a great example. And Tara and I have talked, we talked to so many younger moms or families who have just brought new children into their home that's your calling. Like, you've got to find out how to do self-care within the four walls of that home quite a bit. Now, we would get out and ride bikes. Mm-hmm. That's something he enjoyed doing. My youngest one from Ethiopia, it was crafts. It was that sort of thing in music. And so you have to find what they enjoy, but what also helps you. But you don't have to go out and conquer everything else anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Like, now, you got to take care of the home.
That's right. Yeah. A big part of self-care is saying no to the things that you just can't do in this season. And if it helps parents to remember it's not forever, it's just for a season, it's good to say no to lots of things.
Even the wisest man that ever walked the earth, King Solomon, wrote in Ecclesiastes 3, there's a time and a season for everything. And I think many times we feel guilty when we bring new little ones in the home that we can't be room mom or that we can't be the team coach for the soccer team or we can't do this or we can't do that. And we begin to put judgment on ourselves like, well, we're not doing enough or whatever. But it's okay. There is a season. Your kids are going to grow up. You don't have to do everything when you've got lots of littles or just lots of kids at home. You just focus in on what you can. And, you know, each season the Lord allows you something fresh and new. I'm doing things now at 47 years old that I was not able to do when we were raising all six kids under the same roof.
Exactly. And, you know, sometimes you just have to pull back. For me, when times would get really difficult and we're just at home, say we adopted them, moved to another state. Mm-hmm. Not the best plan.
What were you thinking?
Exactly. You know, we knew it's what the Lord called us to, but there were so many days I was just breathing through, Lord, I just trust you in it. And retrained my mind. That gave me, I mean, that was self-care for me. to sit back and just focus on He is good, He is here, and reminding my kids of that too, because they were struggling.
Yeah, and I think as adoptive and foster parents too, a lot of the times we struggle with self-care in the spiritual realm, and we forget where our identity is. And we tend to think we've got to do it all because our identity is being a foster or adoptive parent. But part of spiritual self-care is remembering that our identity is in Christ.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Jesus says, you know, keep your eyes on me and just retrain the mind, like you said, in the midst of the chaos. It's kind of releasing control, too.
Absolutely.
When I'm doing self-care, it's like, Lord, I don't have to fix it all. I can't really fix anything. I'm just going to, you know, trust you to do that. It makes my days more pleasant, and it makes me, I'm not mom on a broom so much. Yeah.
And it's really not going to be the end of the world if you go outside and garden with your kids because it's refreshing to you and you have laundry.
Right.
Yeah, it's swapping out the, you know, swapping out. That's a good thing to do to keep the house tidy. But the best thing sometimes is just to pull back.
Yeah. I was kind of flipping the coin a little bit. I was having a conversation with a mom, and I told her part of my self-care is planning out meals for the whole week and grocery shopping once a week because I hate going to the store. And if that doesn't happen, I am dysregulated. Mm-hmm. And this mom I was talking to has 8 kids, and she said, that would not be self-care for me. I plan meals one day at a time, and I go to the grocery store every day. That's self-care for me because that's what I love to do. So I love to tell parents, you've got to find what it is for you. And, you know, I also like to say that hiding in our closet and eating chocolate, that's an indulgence. That's not self-care.
Sometimes, oh, man, I'm getting it wrong.
And, you know, that's not going to help us parent well. That's not going to help us through the really hard days. Right. So we do have to think, what do I need to do to plan so that things aren't piling up?
Right.
And that's a big part of self-care, too.
And do you find it mainly in the afternoon? You keep saying the afternoon. Yeah, why do you keep saying afternoon?
Yeah, so I find that moms especially have a ton of energy in the morning. And then as they're helping their kids from hard places who can't calm themselves down, self-regulate over and over again, and it's actually co-regulation as they're trying to help their kids do things that their biological kids can't do or have always done and their new kiddos can't do. By the afternoon, it tends to be really, really tiring.
We call that the witching hour. Yeah. You know, that time right before dad gets home.
Which always makes it super pleasant when he walks through the door on some days.
Yeah, and think how much better that would be if we're practicing self-care in the afternoon.
That's right.
Yeah.
Even by doing the example yourself of self-care and helping our children recognize, you know, we're doing this together, it refreshes my soul. It also is teaching them how to regulate in a sense of finding what refreshes me. Do you have a child who's a reader who it just would do a world of good to go sit in a reading corner for an hour when they are dysregulated and feel out of control to get a weighted blanket and go sit in a corner and read for an hour? Is it that your child really enjoys that you've taught them how to sew, or that they can get that sensory stuff by going out and banging a basketball out in the driveway? We have lots of basketball bouncing going on in our driveway to help just soothe, regulate. They get home from school, they've been bound up, they can't just jump into homework. And we always say, go outside.
Yes.
Just go outside for our boys, go shoot baskets, go throw the football, just do something outside to kind of, we always say it, give your brain a break.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. I love to talk about the engine plate.
Oh, yes.
So I teach my kids, you know, your engine is in red, which means you're really running way too high. Or sometimes your engine's in blue. You need to get some energy. Mm-hmm. But we want you in green. And so part of self-care is modeling that for our kids. And I will say to my kids all the time, typically, again, in the afternoon at 2:30, I'll say, Mom's engine is in blue. I have got to get some coffee.
Right.
Exactly. Or my engine is approaching red. So I'm going to go walk around the house a couple times. And because I've done that for so many years, my kids will now say, you know, my engine's in red. I've got to go run around outside for a little bit. And if we can model that self-care for our kids, they'll start doing it. And like you said, it it is killing two birds with one stone.
It absolutely is true, because one of mine is just to pull away and be by herself a little bit, or just to sit and talk with me, or me to just let her drive and I sit beside her. Another one of mine, she wants to run 5 miles.
Right.
And she's just a better teenager. Her mind's clear when she gets that time, but they also need time just touching me, shoulder to shoulder.
Yeah. Yeah. And one more big part of self-care is knowing what our past triggers in us. And so, you know, life is hard, and this is a tough world, and a lot of foster and adoptive parents have difficult pasts. And so if they're not realizing that things that their kids are doing are triggering their own past and their own history, it's going to be really hard to connect to that child. So part of self-care is just having a really strong awareness of what makes the parent upset or dysregulated themselves.
Do you have a story how this has worked in your home, like maybe with one of yours?
Not in my home, but I do have a parent who had been physically abused, and she fostered a wonderful, wonderful teenager, and that teenager was pretty desperate for some physical touch. And what we realized is that desperation on that teen's part for physical touch was triggering her. It was just bringing up her past. And so once we talked through that and realized that's what was happening, she was able to give that healthy touch that teenager really needed. Mm-hmm. You know, it wouldn't have been at all healthy for that teenager to not have any healthy touch at all because of the mom's past. But once we worked through that, she was able to give it, and things are going really well.
And they both got self-care.
They did. Absolutely. Right. They did. Yeah.
It does require a lot of self-awareness to parents in general. But finding somebody that you can talk to about things like that, about your own past, your own self-awareness, or even helping understand what is it that really makes me tick, that makes me feel refreshed. We need somebody to be able to kind of process through that with. And so, you know, how do other people kind of come into this picture? How would you say other people play a part in self-care?
Sure. So Jane Schooler is really great about talking about the circles of support in the foster adoptive journey. And she says we all need 5 people to help us.
I'm going to start listing
self-care.
Them as you're telling me what they are.
So we need the rock. That's the person who's going to be with us all the time. We need the wise person who's going to remind us of wisdom when we're not quite there. We need the learner, so somebody who's going to learn alongside of us. We need a helping hand, so somebody who is going to give us those breaks when we need it, because sometimes we do actually need a break. And then we need an advocate, so somebody who's going to stand up for us when we need that. And I think a lot of times we need all 5 of those people. You can't get that from just one person.
No.
You can't
get
it from your spouse. You can't get it from your best friend. Your spouse could be the rock. Mm-hmm. Your best friend could be the advocate. But you need those 5 people. So I encourage all of our parents to make a list of those 5 things and identify who those 5 are. And if you don't have those 5, go find one. Pray that the Lord would bring you the missing person.
Absolutely. And speaking truth into your life, that's so huge, that wise person. And that can also be, you know, listening to a really good podcast or someone you're going through teaching. You know, I'm going to go through this series of 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John with this teacher. But having a good, Tara's taught me that, just to have a really good podcast going or some teaching going also while maybe I'm putting on my makeup.
Absolutely.
And it really does steady you.
For sure.
I think it's really very wise to say you can't lump all those things or even 3 of those things into one person, because that's not – and typically we're going to do that with our spouse.
Right.
And it's really unfair. David does not want to be all those people.
No, John does not either.
No, it's a no-win situation. You know, we're setting each other up for failure when we expect that.
Right.
That's
really
too many words in too many categories for him to be able to listen to. So finding those people is really important. And Lynette and I have talked about in the past in a kind of a different way that before you even bring children into your home, that oftentimes adoption agencies or foster care agencies will have you list resources.
Yes.
Who's a speech person? Who's a psychologist? Mm-hmm. Who's the pediatrician you want to go to?
Have it ready.
Have it ready, because when you get in the thick of it, your mind is way too dysregulated
right.
to be able to say, I can't even make a coherent thought. So where's my list? So even before, and oftentimes when people especially come to see you for coaching and mentoring, they're in a sticky situation. Yes. So one of the first things I'm sure you have them do is say, let's prayerfully consider who these people right. are in your life. So whether it's before your children come in or if you're already parenting, sit down today and pray through that list and ask the Lord to bring to mind, Lord, what does refresh me? Mm-hmm. I mean, we think we would know that about ourselves, but a lot of times the things that I think refresh me are busy work that keep my mind off other things.
Yeah, and we're really not thinking about ourselves
right.
in those moments, in those seasons, you know? And for me, it's giving the Lord frequent spaces.
Yes.
I remember Ruth Bell Graham saying that, you know, her husband traveled. He's an evangelist, mm-hmm. right? He was gone all the time, and she was raising all those children way out in the country, and she kept her Bible open on the table
mm-hmm.
so that she could make frequent spaces for the Lord.
Right.
And that was her way of doing self-care.
Right. And listen, Ruth Bell Graham, she birthed all of those children, but she was living in a tough spot
yes,
with her husband gone all the
right.
time. So this is so vital for all of us as parents to be able to really, really dig into this and see how is it that we can best care for ourselves, because in doing so, we become far better parent, a far better spouse, a far better friend.
You know, 1 Samuel 14, I'm an Old Testament, I don't want to say nerd. It's a good thing to love the Old Testament, but I love teaching through it. But Jonathan and his father Saul are out to war, and they're fighting the Philistines on separate battlefields, and they're exhausted. And Saul just quickly off the cuff makes this oath to his men that if anyone eats before sundown — they've been fighting for days, Stacy. They're just worn out. If anyone eats before sundown or takes a drink or a rest, I'll kill them. Well, problem is Jonathan doesn't get the memo. And so Jonathan's coming back with his men. He is exhausted. Like mm-hmm. the scripture says, he is just weary unto death. And he sees some honey pouring forth. Mm-hmm. And he takes the end of his sword and dips it in the honey and refreshes himself. Mm-hmm. And scripture says he was refreshed unto life.
Mm-hmm.
And he knew to do self-care.
Right.
And that changed his whole ability to lead his men, even though he had an issue with his dad when he got back, of course, with Saul. And Saul realized he had made a unhealthy proclamation
right.
against his own men. But Jonathan took that time to take care of himself. I remember teaching through that mm-hmm. and thinking, wow, I'm not good at that.
Yeah,
I need to do better.
I think Jonathan was probably really more ready
yes,
to deal with
right.
a dysregulated father.
Yes.
Because he was.
Great point.
He yeah. was refreshed.
Right. Yes, absolutely.
Well, it is a blessing to be able to talk through this with you. And I know that our time has come to an end, but we want to talk to you again about another issue that you're really great at coaching people through. So we're going to ask you to stick around for another podcast.
Sure.
So thanks so much for coming today.
Thanks for having me.
You have been listening to the Adopting and Fostering Home, a resource of the North American Mission Board. For more information about today's podcast and other relevant resources, visit sendrelief.org.